WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Men in Trouble is a joyous comic novel that reads like a breathless 200-page letter written from the front of the 1960s. The story zigzags from episode to episode, but what holds it together and keeps our interest alive is the wry, honest voice of Lizzie, the narrator. The men in trouble are her talented, brainy brothers, George and Spencer. They grow up in Concord, Mass, amid shabby gentility and a respect for eccentricity. Lizzie knows Spencer is cool when, at his high school graduation, he says, quote, "Thanks, baby," straight into the microphone as his ancient teacher, Miss Clippinger, hands him his diploma. Lizzie follows her brothers to Harvard, Radcliffe for her, where they drop in and out of school as well as reality. Spencer, who affects women the way catnip does cats, goes the way of ashrams. Harry, a musical genius, goes crazy and needs to be institutionalized. Lizzie feels, above all, that she must save Harry in order to reconstitute the family which she remembers as hopeful and glowing. It also gives her something to do when she isn't dieting on some weird dry cereal regime or nailing her flesh to the doomed love of a depressed guy she isn't related to. This is typical growing up stuff, sure, but Stewart's alert, nuanced writing keeps it fresh and enjoyable. Voice, voice, voice is all we've heard about fiction for the past decade or so. This has mostly referred to brand name droppers and bards of inarticulateness who substitute photographic renderings for a shaped point of view. No such evasiveness or wrought, callow cool blights Stewart's prose. Her wit is the simple, unblinking harvest of penetrating sifting. She has opinions, she feels. This summary of a party scene is a typically neat blending of social satire and self-revelation. She says, "I'm sure these relationships were quite meaningful for the few hours they lasted. There was a tall black guy who was trying to give up white girls, and two or three who wore rags and were always borrowing money to go to the movies and later got trust funds of $1 million. There was the boy with the goatee who made me stare with him at the fish in his aquarium and told me his roommates thought I was a narc because I didn't smoke pot." No character but Lizzie comes vividly into view, and Stewart doesn't deeply probe the causes of emotional pain. Lizzie presents her family's proneness to collapse as a tribal trait, and Harry's mania is unconvincingly reduced to a fear of failure. It's difficult for a comic writer fully to express sadness, although Stewart does often manage to be both pointed and funny. Lizzie's reticence comes off like a byproduct of her genteel heritage, but uncharacteristically, Stewart doesn't have Lizzie reflect on this. Most of the time, though, the comic tone is marvelously apt. Lizzie can't save her brothers, but the mutual devotion the members of the family exhibit helps the weakest links to rickety stability. Most convincing, we're shown that Lizzie survives her binges on soft cakes and hard cases, because the rueful, unashamed candor with which she speaks is an unfailing refuge from despair.